Sluggishly, Doc came awake at the sounds. Blinking hard to clear his vision, he realized that he was lying on a field of grass. The air was cool and the sun was setting, the cloudy sky dark. How long had he been unconscious? Trying to sit up, Doc discovered his wrists were bound with steel handcuffs. What in the world? Cold adrenaline filled Doc as he nervously looked around. He was in some sort of a glade, or perhaps a glen, surrounded by trees, with a little waterfall off to the side flowing right out of a large boulder as big as a house. Mildred lay nearby, her face slack in deep sleep. That was when Doc noticed his gun belt was gone, along with his sword stick and even his boots. A quick glance showed that Mildred was the same, stripped of everything that could possibly be used as an offensive weapon. But if they were prisoners of Over Project Whisper, then why weren't they inside a redoubt? Something was very wrong here. Doc squinted into the shadows to see where the tearing sounds were coming from. In the center of the glen was a small campfire, and in the dancing red light, he saw four men standing around a body lying supine on the grass. One of the men made a throwing motion, and something landed nearby. It was a blue cowboy boot with a steel toe. Doc felt unbridled outrage flood his tired body, burning away the sleepiness of the military gas. That was Christie's boot. In dread certainty, the Vermont scholar knew what the men were planning for his friend, and he rallied savagely against his steel bonds. He had to help her. Another boot landed in the soft grass. Doc looked over at Mildred. He knew if the two of them didn't do something quickly. Doc tasted sour bile in his throat. Christie was helpless. She had used the special strength that Gaia gave her in times of true emergency, but afterward the woman was totally drained, completely exhausted. Mix that with a sleep gas, and she would probably sleep through her entire ordeal, until they killed her in the end when their lust was sated. Looking frantically around for something to use, some trick to play, Doc saw only a concrete blockhouse across the grassy field, and four sleek motorcycles parked near a barbed wire gate in the bushes. That was the exit. But it might as well be on the moon for all the good it would do them at the moment. Then Doc saw a pile of objects and recognized their blasters and other possessions. The stack was several yards away, brightly lit by the campfire. There was no way to sneak over there without being seen. Doc saw that Mildred was twisting her wrist against the handcuffs, red blood starting to show from her efforts. She stopped to stare at Doc quizzically. He nodded at her, then tilted his head toward the grass. After a moment, Mildred's face brightened in comprehension. She grimly nodded in agreement and lay down as if she were still unconscious, tilting her face so that the flickering light from the campfire cast a shadow across her features and hid her eyes. Biting a lip, Doc started to think about his wife Emily, his children, and life before Operation Kronos took him away from his friends and family. Memory started clouding his mind, and he felt madness start to overtake him. But he fought it back with all of his will and concentrated on how much he loved his wife, his Emily, his sweet, dear Emily.
What the fang in hell is that shit?
A young man walked over to Doc, his shirt partially unbuttoned. Doc was privately startled to recognize the man as the drunk from the tavern. So, there had been a spy in town, eh? That explained a lot. Alan Rogan brandished a clenched fist.
Cut the shit, you old fucker. I'll beat you to death.
My pills. My heart. The pills. I need my medication.
Pills? What pills? What in the hell are you blabbering about, you fiend?
Bad heart. Can't breathe. Must have pills.
Alan started to reach for the old man, then drew back his hand in fright. Was the wrinkly sick? He looked okay. But Alan had also seen many old men just keel over and die, clutching their chests. Did Tanner have a bad heart? Or was it the Red Death?
Okay, stay calm. Where are the fucking pills?
My cane! In my cane!
In the cane?
Licking dry lips, Alan stared at the twitching wrinkly, then at the ebony walking stick lying on top of the pile of weapons and possessions they had taken from the unconscious outlanders. It was just a black cane the wrinkly used for walking, Certainly no damn weapon. Alan could break it between his fingers. On the other hand, he was annoyed at being interrupted before the fun started, and saw no reason to give the old man anything. He drew a blaster.
Stuff it or get chilled!
For Doc, this was the deciding moment. The rumors were that these people killed anybody who looked like Ryan, but captured people that resembled Doc alive. Until they were sure that the person wasn't Doc. If they truly wanted him alive, they wouldn't hurt him. They'd threaten and bluster, but it would be a bluff. There was no other choice. Doc would have to gamble his life to save his friend. So be it.
Cut that shit out!
Shut that old bastard the fuck up! And right fucking now!
Tightening his grip on his gun, Alan debated the matter. He couldn't beat the old man unconscious, or Delphi would have their beating hearts on a plate. And it sure didn't seem like he could frighten the wrinkly into submission. A gag would stop the screaming. But if the man really did need his pills for some sickness, then he might climb on board the last train west. Delphi would then put the Rogans on right after him. Alan holstered his gun.
Shit, just wait a tick. I'll get your damn pill.
Furiously, Alan walked over to the pile and lifted the stick. It was too light to make a good club, and the silver head was too small to do any real damage to a person, much less to a Rogan. Taking it by the end, Alan swung the stick a few times, getting a feeling for its weight and defensive capabilities, which were nil. It was just a fucking cane the wrinkly used to walk. But he didn't see any pills attached. Maybe they were inside?
Here!
Alan tossed Doc the stick.
Open it! Shut the fuck up! Or despite of what Delphi says, I'll kick you in your teeth!
My cane! Oh, thank you! But if I do say so, sir, I believe these handcuffs are far more intelligent than yourself.
Startled by the abrupt transformation in speech, Alan could only gasp as the wrinkly twisted the silver lion head of the stick, pulled out a steel sword, and buried it in his throat. Blind from the pain, Alan clutched at his neck, cutting his fingers on the razor-sharp length of Spanish steel. Rising smoothly, Doc shoved the sword in deeper until the tip came out the other side, red blood gushing from the front and back of the dying Cold Heart. Alan fought for air as he started drowning in his own blood. Clawing for his blaster, he found it was gone, and on impulse jerked backward to free himself, spraying blood with every beat of his weakening heart. Alan opened his mouth to call for help when Mildred rose and slammed the butt of the blaster directly into the back of his skull. Frantically, Doc started searching the clothing of the corpse for a key, while Mildred braced the bulky revolver in both of her sticky hands. Her fingers were covered with her own blood, making the grip slippery, so she spat on the blaster and managed to thumb back the hammer. Damnedest thing, though, the gun felt satiny smooth, as if it was brand spanking new, and right out of the manufacturer's box.
Well?
Doc displayed a fistful of speed loaders.
I found some brass, but he doesn't have the key.
Damn. Well then, it's been nice knowing you, Theophilus.
You too, Mildred.
As the men began to drag off Christie's pants, Mildred leveled the weapon, testing its weight. Gauging the gentle breeze on her cheek, she noted the placement of the campfire, took the rising air thermals into account, made one last adjustment for height. 100 yards away, clutching different parts of their bodies, the Cold Hearts fell over to reveal Christie. Her pants were undone, but still on her hips. Moving fast, Doc lunged for the pile of their possessions as Mildred pumped the last 3 rounds into the farthest motorcycle. The wide bandolier of fat 40mm shells for a combo rapid fire jumped, then exploded. Crouching low, Mildred dumped out the spent shells and tried to use the speed loader, but couldn't manage it in the dark with the cuffs on her wrists. Then, from the very heart of the staggering fireball, the battered bike unexpectedly erupted in a searing blue electrical explosion. Fat sparks sprang out in every direction.
Nuke in hell, the healer's got a blaster!
A huge barrel-chested man got back to his feet, a hand clutching his stomach.
Somebody ace that crazy bitch!
Pocketing the useless brass, Mildred shoved the empty blaster into her belt and desperately raced for the pile of their belongings. In the dancing firelight, she scowled at the lack of blood on the Outlander's clothing. She had forgotten about their body armor. Already pawing through the pile, Doc grabbed his revolvers and fired from a kneeling position. Spraying the that his gambit would work again, Doc rose and started boldly toward the Outlanders. They didn't seem to want to harm him in any way. Well, this was the time to test the theory to its fullest. Snarling, Doc charged, acrid smoke exploding from the black powder Lama, while the Ruger boomed stilettos of flame. Bypassing her med kit, Mildred grabbed an MP5, worked the bolt, and sprayed the three Rogans across the legs. Only one dropped, but her rounds had obviously hit flesh this time. Pausing to grab the three gun belts, Mildred searched for the Grens, but couldn't find any. Mildred joined Doc in charging the three remaining bikes. The physician tossed the old man his gun belt and maintained cover while Doc hastily reloaded the Ruger. Loose brass tumbled through his fingers, but he got the blaster packed and closed the cylinder.
Ready.
Doc desperately tried to keep count while figuring out their next move. Meanwhile, Mildred buckled on her own gun belt and clumsily slapped a fresh clip into the exhausted rapid fire.
Alan! Alan!
I think he's chilled!
Fraggin' bitch! I want her alive, you hear? At least long enough for me to ace her. But don't hurt Tanner!
Doc felt his blood run cold at that announcement. Tanner. They knew his name. If he remembered correctly, Mildred and Christy had only called him by the nickname of Doc while they were in the net. So how did these cold hearts know his name?
Any bright ideas?
The cold hearts had quickly spread out and were lying on the ground, making it much harder to target them without exposing herself. They were also starting to shoot back with their hand blasters, but only at Mildred. Wisely, she moved closer to Doc, and the incoming barrage of lead stopped instantly. In the calm air of the glen, the smoke from the Lama was making it difficult to see things. The cover, both a blessing and a curse to the two companions. Any second now, the Coldhearts would figure out that Christy was the key and turn their blasters on her. Then it would be all over. Doc broke the Ruger to dump spent brass and hastily reload. More brass was lost. They only managed to get in five rounds before running out.
How about using those bikes to charge the Visigoths? The best defense is a good offense, Ryan always likes to say.
Yeah, him and Sun Tzu.
Mildred worked the bolt to clear a jam in the ejector port. Glancing at a motorcycle, she saw a blinking red light on the dashboard. That might only be a car alarm, but somehow she got the feeling these cold hearts wouldn't depend on a tooting horn to protect their possessions. They would be anti-personnel booby traps. Or worse, without a doubt.
I think we're on foot.
Suddenly, the three Coldhearts broke cover and dashed across the glen, but in different directions. Two were heading for the blockhouse, where the really big man went for the unconscious Christy. Dropping the inaccurate MP5, Mildred drew her ZKR and took a shot at the guy. He stumbled, but still reached Christy. Grabbing a fistful of her long hair, the Coldheart hauled the unconscious woman erect. Mildred felt herself flinch from the imagined pain of having the living filaments pulled that way. If Christy had been faking before, she certainly was knocked out now. The pain would have been unimaginable. Edward placed a knife to Christy's throat.
Lower those blasters or I'll cut this bitch like a...
The man released Christy and slumped to the ground. Revealed standing behind him was a slim young woman with long black hair, holding a rock.
Two down.